Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody to the show, it's Real Talk. Panel full of open minds, giving you real thoughts. You always gonna get the realest. Beyond the title to opinions, don't get in your feelings. The further assassins, breaking it down, we bring on an expert. Scroll through our history, here's some of our experts. May of 2013, marks the beginning. Passion and dedication, that was the engine. Shouts to Grip for producing the track. Pissing the recipe, and he came up with crack. Back to this Real Talk, you should really check us out. Providing voices for the people, this is what we about. Bringing skills and talented guests on from different places. Hello, welcome, different views, different races. Hit the top, it's intriguing, we on it. It's Real Talk Radio, the best ones doing it. On top instead of pick people's interest. Going deep, got people's faces frowning like incest. Can't rock out with us, you got a thin chest. We make our name hold weight, that's the bench press. If you're an up and comer, this is where to be. You're gonna get a good look, that's a guarantee. That is what we desire on. So if you think you're seriously funny, then you can ride along. Been podcasting for years, we some veterans. It's one of those days, we could be a medicine. Listen, got choices, it's all on them. Either check the store online or you can call on them. Doesn't matter your political views, you can call it how you see it. Say whatever you choose, there's no censor. It's all good when you rock with us. When they hear Real Talk, come chop it up. Conspiracy theories, Barbies, superstorms, online dating, that's the top that's really on. Why men cheat? Why women better at it? Why you black gotta witness so many foolish tragedies? Why you 30 still making twerk videos? Why narcissists victimize and want pity though? These are things that we all wanna know. Why you at the right place, cause we attract it on the show. Models, actors, authors, rappers, singers, producers, atheists, pastors, shouts to supporters, helping us grow faster. It's all love, we embrace fellow podcasters. Sports, dating, family, politics. Other shows so they dig us, but won't acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. If we come together, we can make a union. It's Real Talk Radio. Tune in, tune in, tune in, tune in, tune in.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to It's Real Talk Radio. And tonight on It's Real Talk Radio, we will be talking pro-life versus pro-choice and abortion laws. Pro-life versus pro-choice are some of the most standout political debates from the right and left wings, with liberals being mostly pro-choice while conservatives are mostly pro-life. And believe what we say, these debates get heated. The left and the right can never agree to disagree when it comes to the passionate topic. Liberals are judging conservatives for trying to tell women what to do with their bodies, and conservatives are judging liberals for supporting child murder.
Most of us know multiple women who have either strongly considered or have actually went through with abortion. It's a very touchy subject from all perspectives, and it does raise the question of, are abortions morally ethical? If not, then why not? And if so, then the next question would be, at what stage of pregnancy is a fetus considered to be a life? The next question would be, if you consider the fetus to be a life, do you consider abortion at that stage to be murder?
We know this is tough to talk about, and if you're a compassionate person, you probably feel it in your stomach, But these are serious life issues that women face on the daily. Statistics show that the abortion rate has been on a steady decline. Between states implementing tough abortion laws, abortion clinics being shut down, and women genuinely getting pregnant less. Abortion rates are down significantly compared to 1990, when there were an estimated 1.4 million abortions in the United States alone.
You see videos of pro-lifers protesting and speaking out against the abortion clinics. And the patients who go to these clinics to have their procedures. You'll even see some protesters pleading with pregnant women to not go through with it. Well, tonight we'll be discussing these issues and sharing our own personal views on this sensitive topics. And if you'd like to call in, the number is 563-999-3434. So, yep. So,
yes.
With that being said,
yes,
man. Yes, sir. So,
what's up, Tay? How's everything? Well, first and foremost, everybody, again, welcome to It's Real Talk Radio with your hosts, Tay Real and Bobby G. And,
what's up, people?
You know, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's good, people. And, you know, we here. And we decided that this was something that we wanted to talk about. It's been discussed on our platform before. You know, typically throughout other conversations that might bring this up, but this was like, we did a discussion on abortions before, but it was years ago. Like, the one I remember where we like, this, the whole show was about abortions. I mean, this was years ago. I hadn't even met Bobby yet. We hadn't even met yet. Like, that's how long ago it was. You know, so
yes,
I just felt like, you know, we felt like it's time right now just to have this discussion. I mean, you got these, you know it's always an ongoing debate. And then you see with these Texas laws with their passing with the very strict abortion laws in Texas and stuff. And it's just, you know, it's another ending debate, you know, typically between the left and the right, you know, and just, you know, people who feel like they're right and the other one is wrong. And, you know, it's an important discussion to have because it affects so many people. And most of us know someone who has had an abortion or at least has strongly considered and almost went through with it. You know what I mean? And so there's a lot of things to, you know, look into when it comes into it, the psychological aspect, like what makes a lot of women want to get an abortion? And at what point do you feel as though an abortion is understandable based on that set of circumstances, you know, because for me, I was like, for instance, like, I used to be a person that was like, abortion is just wrong, no, point blank, end of story. Since then, my views have evolved, and now I'm more of a, you know, let the woman choose person, but I still feel like it's still wrong to me. But it's like, I feel like it's wrong, but it's her body and the law allows it. What can I really, how much of a leg I got to stand on? I ain't the one that's doing it. I ain't the one that's going through with it. But if it's a woman that's pregnant by me, that's the only time I really have a real valid opinion as far as like, yo, that's my baby too. And then that's when it hits a lot, that's when it hits a lot closer to home, and you can say, that's my baby, you know what I mean, inside your stomach, and we had consensual sex that led to that, then it hits a little different. So I don't like the idea of it, but I understand that sometimes there are circumstances like, for instance, if a woman is raped, you know what I mean, then that's a whole different can of worms. You know what I mean? If a woman is raped.
Yes, sir.
You know, or if a woman has a health condition, it's like, if you go through with this pregnancy, there's a strong chance that you might not make it. Like, you might not make it, or you might bad off, or you might not make it and leave your significant other or your husband, whoever the guy you're pregnant by, you know, is, you might lead him to be a single father raising his child by himself, because you might not even be here because you have these issues, and this is a life-threatening issue. And you have to really say, okay, is this something that we want to risk for the sake of bringing life into this world? And you know what I mean? So there are things like that that you have to consider as well.
Right.
And I think that's what makes it get complicated, because when you look into, like, these protests and you hear what a lot of the right has to say about it, and I know not everybody is a political. Some people, it's like they're not left, right, Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative. They're just like they're regular people. They don't even do politics, but they still feel like you still have those too, right? And
yes,
just like they feel like it's wrong. And you're just like, well, you know, we have these complicated things that we have to, you know, address as far as, like, these circumstances and stuff like that. But on the, just the straight up for me, you know, I'd be lying if I said, like, the idea of an abortion is, like, it's cool. Like, it's hard to do. I mean, like I said, like, that is her body, and the law allows it, so it's tough as a guy to, you know what I mean, to like, really have a real valid argument on the fact that I'm not the one carrying the child, right? But on another hand, if you laid there and had consensual sex with a guy and got pregnant, and then aborted, it's just like, man, like, that was a natural occurring thing, and now you're taking away the opportunity for this life to develop into a baby and have a whole life. Like, you had that opportunity to have a whole life, you know what I mean? And now that offspring doesn't get that opportunity. So it's a lot to think about, though, because then you guys start thinking about what at what point is it considered a life and my heartbeat, and you see what I'm saying? It get complicated. Like, so what you think, Bobby?
Oh, man, I totally agree, but let me just make sure that the people, you know, definitely, I want to make this clear about pro-life versus pro-choice. So, all right, generally, right, people who identify as pro-choice, those are the ones, the people that, you know, they believe that everyone has the basic human right to decide when and whether to have children. Like, okay, when you say you're pro-choice, you know, you're telling people that you believe it's okay for them to have the ability to choose abortion as an option for an unplanned pregnancy. You know, even if you, like, wouldn't choose abortion for yourself. Now, people who oppose abortion are often, you know, they're often considered or call themselves pro-life, you know. However, the only life many of them are concerned with is the life of the fertilized egg, embryo, or fetus. You know, they are much less concerned about the life of women who have unintended pregnancies or the welfare of children after they're born. In fact, many people who call themselves pro-life support capital punishment aka the death penalty, and oppose child welfare legislations. So, you know, so that's another thing that you look at. And I, you know, I heard everything you said, and I'm with you. Like when you were talking about like reasons, although you may not really be with abortion, and you know, but people, there are women who have life-threatening situations when they're pregnant. And then there's also the women who may have gotten raped, and they don't want to have that baby by some, a lot of rapists who want to rape them. So, you know, they're like, it's different like circumstances why people feel that women should have the right, you know, should have the full choice, the human right to decide whether, you know, or not to have the child. So that's why, you know, I just want to make sure people understand that, you know. So that is tough. That's always going to be tough. It's always going to be tough because a lot of people don't believe in, you know, in abortion. You know what I'm saying? But under those certain circumstances, and there may be other circumstances too, why a woman may want to have an abortion. Now, if you just jumped in bed with somebody and you knew the consequences, you know, you had consensual sex and you just was, you did it unprotected and whatever, then technically that's on you. Like, you did it, you wanted to do this, you knew you could have had the guy put on something, or you could have used some protection yourself, or both, but you just, bam, did it anyway, if you was in the heat of the moment, then what about that? But you didn't, that was unplanned. You know what I'm saying? Like, you didn't, it didn't have to go down like that, you know? That was you not thinking, not using, you wasn't forward thinking. You wasn't looking at the pick. You were just looking at right now. You wasn't looking at a line. You know, you could have, you know, still had, you know, that moment. And it could have been just as enjoyable once you, you know, protected yourself, you know. So that's another thing. Now, what about those situations? Like, do, and now the person want to get an abortion because she, and he, because they made the mistake. I'm not going to just blame it on the woman, because the guy, and this is just another thing with men. Men, they think that if they didn't ejaculate, that a woman is not going to be, won't be pregnant by, or can't get, be pregnant by him because he didn't technically ejaculate. But another thing, but what they, but they, a lot of guys, if you don't know and you're a grown man, I don't know what to say, like you need to open the book and do some research. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to have a, you don't have to have a full ejaculation to get a woman pregnant as a man. Because we all know that pre-stuff comes out and it has everything in it, the pre-cum.
Mm-hmm.
That clear liquid that comes out will get a woman that, it prepares you for that. But even if you pulled out and you didn't fully ejaculate, the pre-cum, you know, still can get inside a woman's areas and impregnate them. So that's why a lot of men, some guys would be like, oh man, I ain't bust. They don't, a lot of them don't know what they're talking about. They could have still gotten her pregnant if he went in law, you know? So that's why you guys, you know, killing me when they're like, nah, you know what I'm saying? They ain't my baby. But then it turned out it is their baby. You know, because they didn't, they wasn't thinking. You know, you can't go, especially if you know who you are and how you are. You know, if it happened with another woman in the past or whatever. Like, you know, some guys can easily get a woman pregnant. You know, and some guys probably can't. You know what I mean? So that's another thing. You got to know yourself too. But to be on the safe side, you know, you have to strap it up for you, you know, do that. You don't, you want, especially if you're not, you don't want a baby and you don't want any type of, you know, any type of infections or diseases, whatever, you know, so you want to make sure that, you know, you protect yourself and you're protecting her, you know what I mean? So you have both safe, you know what I mean? I mean, things do still happen, even when you protect yourself, because sometimes condoms can break. We all know that. So. But at least, you know, at least you should know that if you put on a condom and broke, then that's an accident. And it was unplanned maybe you need to do something. You make sure you wear the right condoms. You know, there's the magnums. If you, you know, if you are larger for a man, and you need something that's not going to break, or just also you got to make sure you put it on correctly, wear it correctly, so that it won't break. You got to leave a little bit of, like, a little bit in the front, a little bit of so like that, in case, you know, that friction, you know what I mean? You need to have something, little, like, slack, you need a little slack up there, you know what I mean? So, but, yeah, so, but technically, you know, I definitely agree with what you were saying. Definitely agree with everything you said earlier. And I just wanted to make sure, you know, people are clear on what full choice and full life is. So,
yeah. Like, it's so frequent, I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I know a woman who didn't have an abortion. I think I might do, but I think I know more people that had at least one abortion than I do women who never had one at all. That's how common it is. It's just super common. Even some of the women that have like 4 or 5 kids, they still had 3, 4 abortions. It's like, wow, that's crazy. And see, that's when it starts to become a problem, because it's like, I mean, all right, at one point in your life, this was the worst time ever, and you was like, you didn't want to bring a child in the world, but you couldn't. And okay, it's never like I'm totally supporting you on my end. But it's like, I'm not a woman thing. Like, okay, that's what you decide to do. But multiple abortions, now for me, that makes me look at you like, man, you just don't even care at this point. You'll just, you know, it don't matter. It's not a life anyway. So just, if I get pregnant, just get an abortion, whatever. Like, it's like,
I think
it's
kind of
inexcusable to have like 4 abortions, 5 abortions. Like, I knew one female. I know, and this was years ago. She was only in her 20s. I haven't talked to her in so long. Like, she the same age as me. So she must have had 4 abortions by the time she was 25.
Wow.
She must have had 4 abortions by the time she was 25. Easily.
You know?
There's
yeah,
no telling how many she had now, because I think she only got, like, 2 children. But every time I talk around, she was getting an abortion. So she might be, there's no telling how many abortions she got now.
If you have 4 abortions by the age of 25, then you just don't give a crap. You just say, oh, I got pregnant, I'm just going to get an abortion. See, that's what I was just saying. Now, that's people like that. Now, I totally agree if, you know, someone that's pro-life gets on her about that and about not having an abortion, because she's just saying, hey, you know, you got Planned Parenthood. I can go there get an appointment and just take care of it. She's not caring about a life that's coming out of her own body. You know, she's just going to go and abort it. It's, you know, come on, 4 pregnancies by the age of 25, and you got 4 abortions. And first of all, that's the 4 that you know of. What if she had way more than that by now? You know, that's just who she is.
This was like 15 years ago by the time she had like 4 abortions. You know
that's
what I mean?
Crazy.
Yeah,
those are
real
type of these women. And then you got to worry about diseases, because she's just letting everybody, you know, let go in her. Like, you know, so that's another thing you got to worry about. So that's just crazy, man. See, some women just don't, and some men don't care. They don't care about themselves. They looking at that moment. That's why you got a lot of HIV people walking around now, HIV and other types of illnesses, diseases. Because they just want to, they see something, look hot, and they, because you got to remember something. When you see a woman that look hot to you, she look hot to a bunch of other men. And whatever man is giving her what she wants, some girls, you know, some women will give it up as soon as a guy spend a little money on them or buy them some, whatever they smoke or drink. You know, some women, you smoke weed with them, you can get it. Some women, you drink with them, you can get it. Some women, you give them a couple of dollars, you can get it. You know, it's like, it's women will let you know how you can get it. You know, how, you know, what she wants is that you can get it. And there's women like that. We all know that. A lot of guys, that's why a lot of guys, when they need a chick, that's the first person they ask them. You smoke, you drink, you do this, you do that. You know, they want to know what you do. So, yeah, all right, let's do that. You know, boom, I'll buy it. I'll put out the funds and get you whatever. And then you're going to, you know, give me a little piece. And then you keep it moving or whatever. You know, that's how a lot of young folks think, you know. Or nowadays, it's like if you got, now you're popping pills. So now maybe guys are giving somebody a Molly or E-pill or whatever and getting them nice and having sex. That's another thing, you know. They have those party drugs, you know. So, man, you know, so, yeah, but a woman that's doing all that, like, just loose with her body and not giving a crap and just letting guys use her as a some type of disposal, then, you know, I don't respect that. And they obviously don't respect themselves, so why should I respect them? So, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to respect nobody who doesn't respect themselves. Simple as that. So, and nobody else will. So that's not cool. They need to get a clue. They need to educate themselves because they're messing their lives up. They're messing themselves up. So what do you think about, so what do you think about that, those type of women? And those men, too. What about the men? What about the men that's just like, you know, they want the woman in bed, but they don't want, if they have a child, now they're not interested in children. They're not interested in raising their kid. Even if they find out, sometimes they're going to say it's not theirs, but even if they find out it's their kid, they still not interested in, you know, being the kid's father. And that's another thing. You got a lot of irresponsible men out. Well, they're not really men to me. Don't be like that. But males out there that, you know, getting women pregnant and then not being there for their kid. Even if you're not with the woman, in the relationship with the woman no more, but y'all still have a child, you should still be there for the child. Simple as that. So, you know, that's what I feel. So, and, you know, what do you think about that? I know what you think, but, yeah. Let me get your opinion on that. Let the people know.
All right, hold on. My line was beeping, and then I was texting some people. Run that by me like that last part again, Bobby. My bad. That was multiple things going on at once.
Oh, trust me, I know.
Run that by me again, man.
I was saying, like, what do you think about the men or the boys that's out there getting women pregnant, but they not wanting to step up once they find out they're actually the child's father?
Men who are getting women pregnant and then not wanting to step up.
And be a father
once
to the child. Right.
I mean, they're losers. They're losers. They should be ashamed of themselves. They're disgraceful. And that's probably a big part of the reason that a lot of women decide to have abortions. Like, I've had these discussions with women before. Like, they're like, I'm not about to be no single mom, especially if they already had been a single mother with their last relationship. Like, or with him, that same guy, like, he already ain't helping, and now she's pregnant by him again. You know what I mean? And a lot of times that definitely, you know, helps sway a woman's decision to not go through with the pregnancy.
Right. I agree.
You know, these types of guys play a role in the abortion rate. Having said that, it's still like, man, but you laid with him. You know what I mean? Like, you still laid with him and chose to.
She still chose to lay with a dude that she knew wasn't responsible. Right. I get that. I get that, and that is her choice. So that's on her too, but it is, and she knew that. So yeah, she has to take accountability.
You know
as well.
What? Like, you're taking the cop out. Like, you, like, so for me, point blank. So here it go for me. Like, I'm not, I don't really feel sorry for a woman that's like, oh, well, he's not going to be there, and I'm not going to, I don't necessarily feel sorry for a woman when it comes to that. What I do feel for, hold on 1 second, send this text message.
All right.
What I do feel sorry for is women who are victims and been violated and had some guy throw them in the trunk of their car and maybe didn't kill them, but maybe had his way with them and then tossed them on the side of the road somewhere. Those women or a woman that was at a party and drank too much and woke up and some guy was on top of her, or woke up and some guy's dead, or woke up, don't know what happened, and next thing you know, she's pregnant. She's like, I didn't sleep with anybody. But she was so drunk, she don't even realize some guy took advantage of her, but she was tapped out somewhere. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, do you want to bring in life from a guy that was created from a guy that took your body from you? And that's my argument with the people who are like, no abortions, most of them seem to not care about the circumstances. Like, even if you got raped, and that's the part where you lose me. Because while I'm more of a pro-life person versus a pro,
choice.
It's like I'm
right.
pro-life and pro-choice, but I'm more of a pro-life person. When it comes down to it, I'm more of a pro-life person. But there are circumstances for me where I understand the support
right.
an abortion. And being raped is one of those circumstances. Life-threatening pregnancies is another one when I would be supportive of it. You know what I mean?
Facts. Me too. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, if, if a woman's life is threatened from the pregnancy, then I totally agree on aborting that child, because you got to remember something. What happens if she has the baby, right? Somehow, but now she lost her life having the baby. You know, now she's not going to be there for her child. She won't be there. It would just be possibly the father, or maybe not. Maybe it'd be a family member, because you never know. Remember, some of these guys, first of all, don't even think they're the father, right, in a lot of cases. Or even if the guy knows
yeah.
he's the father, like, you know, and that happens, then, you know, he's faced with having to raise that child on his own, which is, you know, real men step up to the plate and do that, of course. But, you know, it's like, it's tough because, a mom's is expected, I guess, to be there, should be there as well, you know, both parties, not just one. So, and then another thing is this, you know, I understand if she has an abortion, because maybe down the line, there'll be something that can get taken care of, and she'll be able to have a baby next go round or something without no life-threatening issues. So, hopefully.
Yeah,
you know,
like maybe
so,
she's battling the illness now, that she's expected to win it, but if she had tried to have a baby now, like, for instance, I've seen a situation where, like, a person had lupus and pregnancy was a high risk for them because they had lupus.
Right.
It was a high risk for them you know what I mean? And so if the woman with lupus, doctor says it's not a good idea for you to try to have a baby while you're fighting this illness is wreaking havoc on your body. It's not a good idea for you to try to go through this pregnancy. And so this woman mm-hmm. goes to the abortion clinic to have an abortion, but you not knowing her story, not knowing the circumstances that has led her there, want to stand out there and hold signs and yell stuff at her and all this stuff, and you don't even know her story, that's the part that does not sit well with me, because it's like you don't even know her
right.
story. And it's really because the law allows for her to have an abortion, she's not doing the illegal procedure. It's really not your business unless she decides to share. I mean, we are judged, so you can judge if you want. Anyway, we all can judge. I mean, that's our own personal opinions. But I mean, like, that's her set of circumstances that she's deciding what to do with. Until you know her story, how are you that dedicated to trying to make her feel like a piece of nothing? You don't even know her story. You don't know her story. So I feel like a lot of these pro-lifers, they be doing too much when they do the protesting, yelling stuff at people and all of this stuff and trying to make people feel bad. It's like, you don't know their story. Now, if this is somebody you know personally, you know their story. You know their story and you disagree with it. That's one thing. But the random people that you don't know, it's like, at what point do you say, all right, I'm going to just mind my business and it's okay to try to do it through law, through policies, you know what I mean? And try to switch some things because you disagree with it, so you're going through the proper channels. That's one thing.
Right. Facts. But yeah.
That's one thing.
You don't know women's situation, but you out there standing in front of the abortion clinic with picket signs and walking around and just trying to talk them out of abortion. You don't know if she has a life-threatening illness. You don't know if she's been raped after somebody put a party drug in her drink and then she woke up with her panties missing or something like that. So if you don't know. And pro-lifers, like I said, I'm with pro-life as well, but I'm also with pro-choice based on the circumstances. So, you can't just come at not knowing this pregnant woman who's going to get an abortion. You don't know her story or situation. So, you can't just really come at them, like, with this whole pro-life thing and, trying to talk out of getting abortion. Now, I know for the most part, I know they don't know, first of all. They don't know who's coming in there. But probably for the most part that people that go in there and get, I don't know the percentage, but it's probably a higher percentage of people that just go in there to get an abortion that went and just had unprotected sex and they knew they could have actually got a full sign, or they could have, or the woman could have took some birth control pills or whatever it is she do, or use a diaphragm or something. And, but she just chose, she was in the heat of the moment and they just went wrong. Now, something like that probably happens more often than, or maybe a rape. Maybe. I don't know the percentage of that who's going in these abortion clinics. But I would think so. I would think so, but I'm not 100% sure. I don't know. I would have to look into that. But I would think, for the most part, a person just slipped up. They slipped up, meaning they just, they chose not to put on the, they chose not to tell the guy, even a woman, even like a woman should have condoms. Because if a guy for some reason don't, and it gets to that point, and see, they both want to go there, take it there, and he doesn't have, she should have. She should have something to give him. That's thinking about herself, too. If she's not using the diaphragm, she's not using birth control pills or whatever, she should have that just to be on the safe side. So a guy can't say, if he say, I don't have, and they want to go there, then I got something, boom, So, and a lot of women do, they do that as well. They do keep condoms. Some of them do. Most of them do. So that's the thing about pro-lifers that, I get it. Like I said before, I get it. But that's something you don't know the woman's situation. So to come at every woman like that is, you know, you may be wrong in a lot of cases, or in some cases. Most cases you may be correct, but in some cases your chances are you're going to be wrong because, you know, unfortunately, you know, you got a bunch of knuckleheads that they don't care about a woman, first of all, to want to slip them something in a drink, or just all they think about is a way to get to that point. So they don't care about what the woman, how she's going to feel after. For the next 25 years, she may be scorned, you know what I mean, or whatever, or probably all her life, from that one moment of her life that she was violated. So, you know, a lot of guys, they just think about it. They don't think that women will go through, like, mental and emotional, like, suffering and something like that. They probably think, oh, it's nothing. It should be all right, whatever. You can't choose. You can't make that choice for the woman. You can't do that. You know what I mean? You know, you get you know, intimate with a woman, it got to be it has to be consensual. Y'all both have to agree on it. Otherwise, you need to go, you know, you got to back off. You know, no means no. No don't mean yes. No means no. So, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. So.
Yeah. All right. So I was, hold on. So I was talking to Michelle. You remember Michelle? Michelle was, you know, one of our former co-hosts, you know. And
that's my girl. Well, Michelle.
Texting with Michelle. This is what she said. I asked her, let's go, hold up. She said, I don't think they care about children. That's really my thoughts. She was saying, like, she's talking about the state. She said she don't think the state really cares about children. She said, I think abortion is lovely for those who need them. I've never been one of them, but I don't judge.
There you go. There you go. That's great. That's great. So she feels pretty much like we do on that. Yeah. So, yeah, and women should have the, I think women should have the right to choose, to have full choice in situations like that. But that's the thing. How would you know the situation? You know, like, what if a woman didn't have a tough situation? She wasn't, like, it wasn't a life-threatening situation, and she didn't get raped. It was consensual. But, you know what I mean? But she can't have abortion because it was consensual. Should she lie and say she was raped or say that it's like threatening to get an abortion? Like, what if they try to change the rules and regulations? Like, if you wasn't raped or if you didn't, you know what I mean? Like, you wasn't raped, there's nothing life threatening. And if you say you were raped, there should be some type of police report, some type of proof to say that you were raped, or if there's a life-threatening condition, you know, you should have doctors, some type of doctor's note, because, you know what I mean, supporting that. So, but other than that, you know, it's all pro-life. Like, you can't have an abortion. You got to have that child because you wasn't raped. You had consensual sex and all that. But then women start. What if it comes down to that, and then now women want to start lying and saying they've been raped or saying they have a issue?
That's a great point. I thought about that too. That's a great point.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what do you think about that? Because you never know. I mean, it's not. I don't think there's any bills passed on that. But what happens if it comes down to that? You know, so. That would be crazy.
That's what I was wondering, too. Like, you know, like, if someone's saying rape or whatever, right, it's like, how do you really you know, you got to give them a rape kit and stuff, but they could just say they were, like you said, like if there was like, if I will exclude women, victims of sexual assault, and will exclude people with life-threatening health conditions. But the, you know, as far as the women with the sexual assault, it's like, well, not every rape is like a forced, like, you know, like, you know, sometimes it's not like a, oh, he cramped it in and he damaged her down there and all that stuff. It you might not even see signs of it. It's like she was sleeping, he just kind of slipped it in. You know what I mean? So it's like right. How do you determine the what's valid evidence of it? Like, how would you have a strict, like, all right, you have to have concrete evidence of it. Like, you know, if a woman says she was, you know, if a woman says she was violated or raped, it's kind of like you kind of just give her the benefit of the doubt. That's typically what we do in America anyway. She gets the benefit right. of the doubt typically. And I know this just from seeing how things – I had a woman lie on me, not about rape. Never had that charge, but I had a woman lie on me before. And I got arrested, and I had to prove my innocence in court. You know what I mean? So typically,
right.
we'll give the woman the benefit of the doubt. You know what I mean? As far as
right.
If she's saying she was raped, but then, like, violated, but then how do you prove – what would be like a concrete way of like, okay, like, you know what I mean? She said it, but she also proved it, and now she can have the abortion. How would you determine that based on what type of like test or something? Because bottom line, she's pregnant. There's no sign of forced entry, but yet and still she's pregnant. She said this was not willing. And she tells you whatever story she tells you, she woke up and the guy was on top of her, woke up, ain't know what happened, somebody slipped something in her drink, next thing she knew, she's starting to have these symptoms. She was at a party. How many women was at a party and end up sleeping with some guy that they probably ain't even intend to? Some women go to parties, they get turned up, next thing you know, you know, they drinking. Next thing you know, pop this pill. It's going to make you right. Okay, sure, I'm drunk. I'll do anything. Yeah. And then next thing you know, they waking up. They don't know what happened. Come to find out, three dudes that ran a train on them. And 4 to 6 weeks later, she got these weird symptoms. She finds out she's pregnant. And these guys that ran a train on her, she don't know who the daddy is. She don't know who the potential father would be, but all she know is she don't got a man. She hasn't been sexually active. She went to that party. You know what I mean? Some dudes ran a train on her because she was twisted out of her mind. She might not even, she might only know because somebody told her, like, yeah, you know you was acting crazy. Those three guys went in the room with you. We ain't see you for like 45 minutes later. And she had to put two and two together, like, wait, haven't had a sex partner in a year, yet I'm pregnant, and based on what people are telling me, I went in the room with three dudes, you know what I mean, at the party, now I'm pregnant. Now think about her circumstances, like, how crazy is that? Do you expect her to keep this baby? First of all, these three dudes are going to have to get prosecuted. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? They're going to have to get prosecuted. You know what I mean? But then, look, this is how it gets crazy because what if their side of the story is she was all over us. She wanted it. And we was all intoxicated. And nobody taking advantage of her. Everybody was intoxicated. She kept saying, come on, come on. Come on. You know what I mean? I'm trying to, you know, I want all three of y'all. I can handle it. You know, I'm Superwoman. She was so drunk. And she was like, she wanted it, so we gave it to her. It wasn't no rape.
Right. Right. So, you worry about that.
Damn, now you got to go to court, you know what I mean, over that. Meanwhile, she's pregnant. Now, somebody is whose side is what? What? She's drunk. Did she really remember? But are they lying to protect themselves? Either way, you got this situation. You expect her to keep this baby?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You expect her to keep this baby? But then,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. When no one is probably planned on, didn't want her to get pregnant, because first of all, it was what it was. It was some, like you said, it was drunk, some wild party, and she thought she could take three guys, and she fed it. And like, yeah, I take you all on this and that. Like, and then, so they went with it. And then now one of them got pregnant. And now she hurts her kindness wears off, and then she realized what happened. You know? That is crazy. That's crazy, like, you know.
But she's going to be the same woman that when she goes to that abortion clinic, they're going to be, you know, if those pro-lifers are out there, those pro-lifers are out there, yeah, they're going to wreak havoc. They're going to make her feel bad. They're going to yell stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
You don't even know her story, though. You don't even know her story. But it's little, like, they literally took advantage of her and saw that she was out there nodding off because she was so out of it, and she just passed out. And they said, hey, man, y'all trying to get some ass? Come on, she's sleep. Let's go. You see what I'm saying? What if that's really the truth of what happened? What if the truth comes out and that's really what happened?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's
one of these dudes is the father. One of these dudes are the father. And they took her body from her. You expect her to keep that baby? Now, if she keeps that baby, that's her choice. But if she aborts it,
right.
I mean, should we really judge her on that?
No.
I could not judge somebody or be like, make them feel any type of way over those circumstances.
No, like that,
I was supportive 100%.
I was totally supportive. Yeah, I would. She shouldn't get judged because first of all, she was sleeping. She didn't know these guys were gonna do that while she was sleeping. You know, so yeah, no, she doesn't get any.
It's terrible.
It's
a horrible thing.
Judgment. That's yeah, and all those guys need to get prosecuted. Simple as that. So, no, that's a straight up violation. So no, it's just crazy.
So these
are
things
you
gotta think about, though.
Yeah, these are things that that has to be thought about. So far as pro-life and pro-choice, so far as, you know, whether you get an abortion or not, or should you get an abortion or shouldn't or not. So, wow. Yeah, it's really sad. Yeah, so I would definitely, like, support her. In that situation, I would support her in whatever she chooses. If she chooses to abort, can't knock that. She chooses to keep it. Can't knock that. Simple as that. I can't knock it. That's her choice. So
yeah,
can't
I got.
Away.
Here's one. Here's one, Bobby. Here's a real interesting one, right? Woman's married, happily married. They're working on trying to have their first child, right? They're working on it. Work in progress,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, she leaves work one day. She goes grab a bite to eat. She goes to go home. Next thing she knows, somebody's asking for her for some directions. She's just planning it. Next thing you know, she wake up. She's, you know, tied up. She's in some dark place. She don't know where she is. She's screaming. She sees the attacker standing over her, and you know what comes next. He starts saying some crazy stuff
right.
to her. He ready to have his way with her. He has his way with her, you know, but he doesn't kill
right.
her. Leaves her on the side of the road somewhere. Somebody finds her, calls the police. You know, she, you know, gets to the hospital, gets back home, husband finds out, he's livid, he's beside himself, you know, she got raped, you know. And so, some time passes, some weeks, some months, whatever, she finds out she's pregnant. Now, they've been trying, but she got raped. And we know most people rape, they ain't throwing a little rubber. So,
right.
Now she's got to decide she's been wanting the baby her whole life, never been pregnant, been trying with her husband. Now she's pregnant, but the problem is she's just been raped, and she don't know who the father would be. You know what I mean?
Crazy. Yeah.
So she has to decide if she wants to have the baby and risk it not being the father's. Now, they do have the ability to do DNA tests while you're pregnant. You know what I mean?
Right.
But what if I believe so? I'm almost sure they do. I'm almost sure they do, right? That is correct, right? They do have the ability to do that. I think they do. While you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Maybe at a certain age stage or whatever. I think they can. So just for the discussion's sake, let's say they do, right? And
right.
And, you know, we fact check stuff on here. We'll fact check it. But they do it, and it comes out that the rapist, the attacker, it must be his because if they didn't catch him yet, let's just say they didn't catch him yet. Hopefully they wouldn't in that scenario, but I'm saying they didn't catch him yet. But obviously, if it's not the father's, that's the only other guy that's been inside of her, unfortunately. And the DNA test comes back, it's not the husband's.
Right.
Obviously,
right.
It's the attacker, it's the rapist.
Right.
Now she's stuck in that dilemma. What if she's a person that's like she doesn't she's a pro-lifer, but she never had nothing like this happen to her. I mean, now her whole dreams of having a family and doing things the right way shattered. Never been pregnant, trying to do it the right way, married, happily married, trying. Now she's pregnant by the rapist, the attacker. No way. You know what I mean? Now, how tough is that right now? If you're her husband and she tells you she wants him prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, she'll be going to jail for a long time, the rest of his life, whatever, but she doesn't believe in abortion, even considering the horrible set of circumstances that got her pregnant, and you're her husband, but she's saying she doesn't know if she wants to get an abortion. She might want to keep it. She don't know. She is tough, but she might want to keep it. She don't think she can get herself to terms with having an abortion, and that's your wife. How do you think you respond to that? Like, you think you would be able to handle that and still be with her, and she's thinking about having a baby with the guy that raped her? And that's supposed to be y'all having a baby together, and he took that from y'all and raped her and got her pregnant. How do you think, what do you think you would do in that situation?
That is a, and that's first things first. I mean, wow, I would be, I don't even know what to say, man. Now, she wants to have the baby after this, even though, you know, she's been through what she's been through, and she has a man. I still want to have that baby. And how would I feel if that was my lady and she'd been abused and having someone else's child? That's frustrating. I would be very frustrated, but I would really have to sit down and talk with her and find out why. Like, I really have to think about why she want to even go there. Even why would she want to go there, you know? Yeah, that's tough. I don't know if I would. Now, I will say this. Me personally, like, babies are innocent. Don't have anything to do with anything. So they just been brought here. How they got here, but they're a baby. So I will say that, you know, I would say that, you know, I would take no issue on it.
You think that you would stick with her if she decided to keep the baby? You think you would be able to handle that and actually stay with her and stay happily married with her and support her through the pregnancy? And she brings that baby into the world that you know isn't biologically yours, that the raper, the rapist, put in her. You think you would be able to stick around for that and help raise that child? And pretty much be, yo, the stepfather of a child that was conceived while you were married and she didn't cheat on you.
Yeah, I would, me personally, it's tough, but you got to also remember, she got raped. So it wasn't her. She didn't cheat on him. If she got,
right.
If my wife got raped and had a bit and got pregnant by the rapist, she didn't cheat on me. She got raped. So I would support her. I would support her and support the baby. And the baby wouldn't.
You a hell of a man.
I wouldn't I would not. I would raise the kid as mom. So the kid won't even. I won't even tell the kid though, that, you know, I won't even say anything to the kid about that. I would never tell the kid anything. Would you tell if they said something like that?
So you would try to assume
wanna,
position. You would carry it like you're the father.
Kid,
like
maybe,
you would.
Right, and that's it. I wouldn't
let the child call you dad and all that stuff.
Yeah. I would not ever tell the kid that kid's in here because the mother has been raped. I would never do it. I wouldn't. I don't think that's a good idea. Maybe I don't know. I don't think I would. I just don't think I would do that. I think that would hurt the child. Like, I wouldn't want to hurt the child. What you think? Would you do? Let's say you accepted. You know, your wife been raped and had the baby, and she wanted to keep the baby, even though she's been raped, right? Would you want to tell the kid that when the kid grow up that the kid is not really? First of all, you would have to say, your real father raped your mother. Would you do that? Would anyone do that? Would you do that? I don't know. That was me.
Tell the child that I've been raising all these years that you're not actually biologically
the father. Right, but not only that. Not only you're not the father, but your real father raped the mother. You told him the truth.
See, that's why I'm more of a person that would rather just be real from the jump. Like, in that situation, I feel like I would be like, look, if I'm going to support you through this, I have to deal with the fact that you're going to voluntarily bring the baby in this world that ain't mine. Like, I'm being real about it from the jump. They can call me Mr. Tay or something. Like, I can't do it. Like, I can't be dad to the baby and then I have to explain later, years down the road, maybe when they 12, 13, whatever age, yeah, I got something to tell you. I'm not actually biologically your father. Like, I can't do that. Like, I got to be real from the jump. I don't even want to give off that false narrative. Now, I think that's going to end up hurting more, like, to have them think I'm the father all this time, then they find out I'm not. That's horrible. But me personally,
that
in that situation,
yeah,
I don't want to sound insensitive, right? I don't want to sound insensitive, but I'm going to be real about it. If my wife, in that same set of circumstances I just explained to you, right, if that happened to me, knock on wood, and my wife's saying she's going to, like, she wants to keep it, that might crumble our marriage. That might really crumble our marriage. Not only life, we ain't even got to be married. We can just be in a relationship. If you're going to keep it, and I have to look at this baby every day and just think about that the father of this child ruined our marriage, took your body from you, impregnated you, and took that glory of us, doing this together, voluntarily took that away, but you're going to bring his offspring into the world and I have to help raise his offspring? I don't think I can do it.
Yeah.
I give you a ton of credit. You're a hell of a guy. I don't think I'll be able to do it. I think I'll be like, you had that baby. That's the end of our marriage. Now, some people might say that sounds selfish or whatever, But I'm sorry. I don't think I can do it.
That's not being selfish. It's not being selfish. You're being honest and you're being real. And, that's a little tough one for my wife to put on me. You know what I mean? To want to keep a kid from someone that rapes her, but they don't want to keep it and they want me to be the father, want me to be there for the kid because we're married. That's tough.
Right.
That is tough. But
like, it happened while y'all was already together. It's not like you met her and she's pregnant. It's happened while y'all were already together. And now she's pregnant. It's like, well, that's taken away from us being able to do this together. Like, all right, of course you can have another baby afterwards. This is your first, isn't this your first pregnancy? And this first experience is going to be, I got to be the stepfather of a child that was conceived during our marriage and you didn't cheat on me? You just think about that. It's like, man. But on the other hand, if she's a pro-life person, the human part of me is like, I get it and I understand. But the pride in me, right, would be too much. I know that would be too much. The pride of, like, this man took my wife. He took her body from her. And he planted his seed in my wife. He took it. He raped her. He planted his seed in my wife. And now my wife is pregnant, not by me, but by him. I'm the one that's going to have to help raise this child and be a father to this child, even though it's not biological. Mine, I'm not passing down my DNA, my genetics. None of that's being passed down with nothing because it's not even my child. I might grow to love this child like my own, but it's not my child at the end of the day. That, I don't think I could stomach. It's a very interesting discussion, though, because I think I've seen a movie like this on Lifetime or something like this happened. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's a crazy situation, but
that
there's people that have been in that situation before, and that's just an unfortunate situation for anybody to be in, and that's tough. That's tough right there.
That's
crazy.
A tough one.
You know what I mean?
It really is, man. And
that's tough.
And I can't say anything about a guy who chose to do or say, do what you just said you would do. Back out of that relationship, and you can't be the father of a kid that's not yours. Even though, look, she got raped, so why would she want to have a kid of the person who raped her? And while she's married to you, she shouldn't want to do that to you, first of all, to begin with, and not only to herself, but she's a pro-lifer. She's not into poetry. She's pregnant. She's gonna have the kid. And see, that's crazy. And as a father, you can raise a kid, you know what I mean, if you like, or not raise a kid, or not be with the woman. But if you raise that, choose to be there and raise the kid as your own, it's not biologically your child. It's not biologically your child. So that can be very something that a man would think about, because a man may want a biological child. So when that child is older, they'll have, babies, and he'll be a real grandfather, a real grandparent, like a biological grandparent, like where he can see his kids that look like him. Like, you can see his offspring, that he knows that's his offspring, So I understand that. I can't really say anything about a guy who wants to raise his own children that's biologically his. So... Yeah, I'm definitely cool with it.
Yeah. There's an article I pulled up. I didn't get a chance to proofread it, so I don't even know what it's all gonna say. Maybe I can send it to you. Maybe you can help me read it. I kinda
like when we can
read stuff together and I don't have to do all the reading myself.
Yeah, I got you. Hey,
you can help me read it. That last one, they ain't even in debt. It's just one long, long, ongoing paragraph that maybe we can
break it up. Let me see.
Yeah, exactly. I'll send it to you now. And this has not been proofread, so I don't fully even know what this is about to be, but I think it's just, you know, interesting to add to the discussion. Send it real.
Oh, I got it.
This is abortiontestimonials.com.
Okay.
Dated back to 2012. I kick it off. I read the first paragraph. You get the second. On that last paragraph, you see how long it is? That last one? How I just keep going?
Yeah.
Again?
Yeah, I see it.
On that last one.
I guess we can. Right.
I read down to where it says boyfriend, and then you read the rest from that point.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
When I stop, then you can chime in from that point.
Follow.
You know.
I'll chime in. All right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. All right. So let me get something to drink real quick, man. You know.
You want me to start reading? Or you
I just think it's good to hold up. I started.
All right.
It's Real Talk Radio. You know, we keep it real. So, you know, the people understand we're at our homes. We're not at a studio. You know what I mean? We at our homes chilling and, you know what I mean?
We remote.
Sometimes you got to get something to drink.
That's it. But that's the beauty about working remote. You in your place, you can go get some water.
Yeah.
You get something to eat. Go grab a piece of chicken. While the other person is on talking, you can put it on mute. So there's a lot of things about being remote. That's really good.
Okay. Let's go to Carla. Want to speak? Article 323.
I am not telling you motherfuckers about any good shows anymore. No more. You
oh,
hear me?
Hey,
you hear me?
Hey, hold up there. Hold up. Listen. I called. No, I didn't call. I listened during live.
Okay.
I was telling Bobby this. I was listening. And I was listening to the exchange. That was this past Saturday. I was listening. And
right.
I recognized one of those voices. That was one of those voices was the guy that really had aggravated me from a previous discussion we had
show.
On that lady show.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That lady?
Right.
Yeah. That dude gets under my skin. I couldn't be a part of that conversation. That dude irritates the hell out of me.
That doesn't.
I don't know
his
name,
it wouldn't even
but
matter.
That dude
then
right there, I can't do it.
I know, but you could come in and you could have a discussion with him on the. If you're angry, you'd be angry, and then everybody would listen to the discussion back and forth.
Well, yeah, but
I mean,
wanna,
if you were afraid.
Y'all was all getting along.
Okay.
Y'all was laughing. I don't want to come in and, you know what I mean, be like, now, that was,
but then you wouldn't have that. I understand.
Yeah, I
understand. I would have.
Issue with what y'all was talking about, but certain things,
right.
The views ain't aligned, uh-huh. So it's like, y'all having a civil conversation. Y'all mostly sound like y'all mostly agreeing with each other. And I come in.
Right.
And I don't want to come in and just
that doesn't
be like
matter.
The angry black
I
man
would introduce
that's just
you
and
Bobby.
Parade.
It wouldn't hey, it wouldn't matter.
You
I would man? Introduce you and Bobby around like I've done to other people that I brought to the show. And whatever you bring to the show, you bring to the show. I also have cut Pianchi off when he starts talking about race. We spent an hour, over an hour and a half on two different occasions, so I jump in when he starts talking about race. And I was also on another show with him last week, and I said to the host, we're not doing it, you know, because he likes to talk about race. But he's a very, very nice guy. He never gets mad at you. He never raises his voice. But I understand
yeah, I
the way you feel
cool.
Because
– I never heard him lose his cool. I
huh?
give you that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he doesn't lose
his cool.
But
y'all talking about
– uh-huh.
The things that y'all was talking about, it was like I didn't feel because Bobby was busy, he couldn't do it. But I was listening. But some of the things y'all was talking, I was like, you know what I mean? Not really necessarily
okay.
My level of.
Oh, all right.
You know,
that's it doesn't matter. We welcome
something that you know what I mean. I'd be like on the outside looking
right,
in,
we,
like, oh, okay. You know what I mean?
We
so I
to
do,
we
I
welcome
to
different opinions. We
right,
welcome
right, right,
different
but I
opinions.
To do, but I kept hearing me out though. But I wanted to do like I was like I was hoping y'all was gonna like talk about like some UFO stuff or like something that like we
you could
really
have brought.
All
we had the
common.
Two people there. We had the two people there.
I didn't stay the whole
there.
Time, but I stayed for like a whole hour. I didn't listen for like a whole hour. I was listening online. I was waiting for something that was
then you could have introduced.
To chime in.
They lay back. Sometimes they lay back. If you brought up the UFO, they would have chimed in and they would have been. I had a banner set for you. I had a kitchen table set for you guys. I said, and the two people who would welcome you to, their names are Kathy and Daniel. They love to talk about UFOs and aliens. And I told them about you. And I had the table laid out. I had food on the table, wine on the table. I said, wait, Bobby and Tay are going to show up and everything. You know, nah, you didn't show up. I'm not telling you guys anymore.
I was there. I didn't feel like I would have fit in. But because, you know what I mean, like, you're like, supporters and you chime in with us a lot. You know what I mean? It's like, that's why I call. Like, I listened in. Like, I wanted to, you know, be a man of my word.
Right.
And I just like, oh, man, I don't think I'm going to fit in on this. And then after, like, an hour, I think, like, something happened. Like, somebody had called me or something. I was like, I did check in. You know what I mean?
Okay. Right. But in all services, it's not a problem.
You jump in
when you feel like jumping in. You don't feel like jumping in. You don't feel like jumping in. That's all. It's not a problem.
Right. But see, and then I didn't know that it was that type of show where you just call in and talk about what you want. I wasn't trying to call in and change the topic, change the discussion. I didn't think I feel like I had that privilege.
We do that.
I didn't want to assume I had that privilege. You know what I mean?
You did. You do.
Hey, so
you and Bobby can talk about anything that's related to politics, relationships, UFOs, anything you want.
Yeah.
We talk
hey,
about
Joe. Take. Is it two mics and a mind? That's the show.
No, that's not
what's
it.
The name of
that's,
what's the
it's
name
called
of that
Beyond.
Beyond the Mainstream.
I know.
Beyond the Mainstream.
Let me make sure. I know I have it, but I was. So who gave me two mics? You gave me that too, right, Joe? Beyond
I gave it to you too. That's the one that had the professional victims as a topic. They were talking about women, how they love to be professional victims.
I
go to that show, too.
All right, so, yeah. All right, what's the number again? Because I have it, but I just want to make sure I got it now. So I'm going to tell you, maybe we can call
I'm going to do
just,
yeah. I think it's
324. All right.
3752.
All right, got it. All right, I'm definitely Tay. I will check with you. And what time? Let me see what time they. It's 9 o'clock, right?
9 o'clock. Right, 9 o'clock Eastern.
All right, got you.
As a matter of fact, I got off at 11 o'clock myself. I wanted to do something else, so I got off real early last Saturday. Usually we stay. We stayed till 2 o'clock in the morning, or even longer.
Wow! Oh yeah, you don't like that?
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Sometimes it gets interesting. All right.
Oh yeah.
Beyond the Mainstream. Okay.
Right.
347-324-3752. I got it.
Yep.
We I don't want to talk about Trump. I don't want to talk about
Oh, you won't believe this.
Race.
I'm glad
I don't
want to
talk about like the race politics and stuff. I'm saying as far as when I participate, I want to shy away from that because I don't want to get. I'm not calling there into a debate or a heated debate or nothing. Like I want to, you know what I mean?
There won't be a heated debate because I make sure there
isn't.
I make sure there isn't. It's not going to be a heated debate. The thing is that you won't believe this, but I and two other people on the panel, we've been going there for years. We were Trump supporters. I'm not as much of a Trump supporter as before because he loves these vaccines, and I think they're full of shit. I think they're poisonous. So we're not we got three people. We have other people who are very much so Trump supporters, but they don't clash with anybody. We have very pleasant people on the goddamn show.
Yeah.
Very pleasant. And even Priyanki's pleasant, but he does have his point of view, and you have yours, and you two can talk it out if you want, but there's never going to be any heated debate.
No, intelligent guy. Intelligent guy. I just don't want to go. I went down there.
I don't blame you.
I went down that hole with him before, and it's like it didn't amount to anything but a bunch of back and forth. It's like, all right, I want to have a constructive conversation.
Right.
Let's find something that we can discuss where it's not so much of a heated back and forth, but it's just like a –
when you did that thing, when you guys did that, you were also on Earlene's show, okay?
She
also kind of, in her own way, fed the going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. Mm-hmm. Donnie doesn't allow it. I don't allow it. There's no such thing as a heated back and forth on that show. You might, if you raise your voice, okay, a little bit. But if you're going to go back and forth, he jumps in, he says, okay, one at a time, guys, one at a time. And that's it. Same thing with me. I'll jump in, I'll say, hold on, guys, one at a time, one at a time, let's go. That's all. No such thing as a...
We should definitely talk about that UFO stuff, though. That'll be something that we can all talk about in this group.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no way,
bring up anything
no
you
way
want.
We're going to argue about that. There's nothing to argue about when it comes to that, so... You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm down for
it.
Yeah,
bring up anything you want.
Down for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in any case, what do you got on? What's for tonight?
Okay. So tonight we're talking pro-life versus pro-choice. We'll definitely allow you to chime in and share your perspective, but we had this article pulled up that we wanted to read, and we was just about to read it right before I brought you in, so we're going to go ahead and read it, and then we can get to it. So, Bobby, you got the article pulled up?
Yeah. All right. So you ready to start? You wanted to start reading, right?
Yeah. Let's see what this is about. I have no idea what this is going to be, but I just know that the first few words I read sound interesting, and I was like, all right, let's just see how this ties into our topic. So it starts off with...
Which is pro-life versus pro-choice. Pro-life versus pro-choice.
This is, abortiontestimonials.com. So, hi, my name is Aubrey. I was 15 when I found out I was pregnant. I turned 16 in October. I waited until November to go to Planned Parenthood and get tested. I got pregnant in September 2011. I told my boyfriend that I was suspecting I was pregnant because I had been spotting a week before my period was due, and that was not normal. After I missed my period, I waited 2 weeks to take a pregnancy test. I took it, and sure enough, I was pregnant. I waited a month to tell my parents because I had to come to grips with the situation I was in. I found out November 21st. This is a year ago. I found out November 21st, 2011, I was pregnant. I told my parents December 11th. That Friday, they pressured me to have an abortion. I had from Monday, December 12th, until that Friday morning, December 16th, to try and handle what I was going to be put through.
Every time I told my boyfriend I wanted to tell my parents, he kept telling me to hold off for a little longer so he could tell his dad. Well, after a week or two of pushing that back, I couldn't keep it from my parents anymore. I told my mom on a Sunday night by giving her the test result on paper from Planned Parenthood. That night, I had to tell my dad when he got home from work, and my mom called my boyfriend's dad before he told him. They were so angry, and they started telling me that I am not keeping this mistake and that they don't want this grandchild because it wasn't conceived out of love. My boyfriend and I have been together over a year now. My parents told me I had one option, abortion or get kicked out of the house and go to a shelter in the city.
I didn't want to have to move out, never see my boyfriend again, and go to a new school and be pregnant. My boyfriend's dad and stepmom came over Monday night, the night after I told my mom, and they all told me I had to get an abortion or it's going to wreck everyone's life. My boyfriend supported me in my thought for adoption. But once his dad came to talk to me and my mom, he changed his mind and told me I should get one. The next day, my mom called the Planned Parenthood and made an appointment for that coming Friday for me to have an abortion. I will never forget having to wake up 5 a.m. to get there for an 8 a.m. appointment to do something I didn't want to do, but I felt like I had no choice to do. My mom told me they would do an ultrasound and that I am not to look at it because she didn't want me to know what was there. I didn't want the abortion. It was my baby, and I stopped fighting for it. I never should have done it. My boyfriend told me he didn't see us together anymore if I would have continued the pregnancy. My boyfriend was there for the abortion in the waiting room because he wasn't allowed in the recovery room with me. He held my hand after it was over and came home with me to comfort me. After the whole thing was said and done, all I could do was come home and cry. My dad was not speaking to me before the abortion, but the day I got it, when I got home, he started talking to me and gave me a hug because they got what they wanted. I didn't, and now I am living with something I didn't want to do that everyone else pressured me into for the rest of my life. I regret it, and I want my baby back. I should have never listened to them. I had no support, though. My family, even my brother, didn't support my adoption idea, and neither did my boyfriend's parents or my boyfriend.
Oh, okay. He backed out on me and stopped supporting me. I felt like the whole world was against me. But if you're pregnant and people are pushing you to do abort the child, do you want to do what you feel is right for you? Think about your baby. I was 3 months pregnant and knowing what a fetus looks like at 3 months old is heartbreaking. Think about it. Before you do it, you will have to live with it the rest of your life. Nobody will ever understand what you will go through after it's all done. Abortion doesn't make a baby go away. It just makes a dead baby. Please do what you feel is right. Don't be pressured like me and everyone else that has been pressured into it and has told their story. It's a painful procedure, and I can't understand how it is legal to kill innocent human beings. I am suffering so many emotions of sadness, grief, loss, guilt, shame, and anger. I am not alone anymore. I will never be the same. Anonymous. So, yeah, this is a, yeah, it's crazy, right?
Wow, that one, you can really feel that one. Joe, let's get your opinion, man. What did you think about that story, man?
I understand what she was going through by the 15. I bet you right now, if she were the same age now, she'd probably be writing an arc. I wish my mother and father, because of their wisdom and age, had pressured me into having an abortion. This child is a demon seed. This child takes up too much of my time. This child impedes my career. You could also have that particular type of situation, too. Now, I believe that abortion is probably murder because I believe that, once you have at least 3 months of a human being formed, that's a living creature. That is a human. And if you kill it, you've committed murder. But I'm for abortion, regardless. I think a lot of kids would have been better off not being born. I've also had this discussion with other people, and I've brought in a hypothetical. I said, I bet you over 50% of the people, if they died and they had to meet Jesus, let's say, and Jesus said, well, we are going to decide if you're going to go to heaven or hell. We won't tell you until it's time for you to go to heaven or hell what our choice is, and our choice is final. But you can go back to earth, you do have other choices. You can either choose oblivion, or you can go back to earth, and you'll know exactly what's in store for you. You can go back to earth, let's say, at the age of 10, and you'll know exactly what's going to happen to you for the rest of your life. And you have the ability to change what your life is going to be from the age of 21 on. You know the future. You can change it from the age of 21 on. But when you die again and you come before us, our choice of whether you go to hell or heaven is final. You have no other choices. And I'll bet you 50% of the people would say, you know what, let me take oblivion. I am not going back to earth. I'm not going to live through all that pain and suffering just to come out again after I'm dead to maybe go to hell or maybe go to heaven. I think a lot of people believe, you know what, I was better off dead. So I'm for abortion. I'm for abortion on a philosophical level. I do think it's murder, but I think it's justifiable homicide. Think about all the kids who've been born out of wedlock to women who have been raped, or women who were drunk and got pregnant and wanted to have money as a result of having the child and have two or three more other children just to stay on welfare. Think about the kids who are even in the middle-class homes who have lousy mothers, lousy fathers, who grow up, let's say they're fat and they're geeky, and they get beat up every day in school. And then when they leave school and go to college or go get a job, people still think of them as some sort of fucking asshole or a dork. I bet you those people would say, I wish I was never born. So I pity the girl, but she's 15. She doesn't know shit from shinola. If she had a baby because, you know, you have a natural feeling, you know, it's my child, I can understand that. And that's natural. But what are you going to do to raise a kid? You're going to give the kid to your mother and father. They don't want to be grandparents, but you're going to burden them with this child that you should have told your boyfriend, hey, Tommy, put the fucking rubber on. You know? So all you got to do, you tell your boyfriend at the age of 15, 35, 55, put your fucking rubber on. I'm not getting pregnant. He doesn't like it. Okay. But then again, change the laws. I want the law so that if I go to bed with some broad and she says, hey, okay, yeah, I can fuck you without any rubber. I want an agreement that if you get pregnant, you pay for everything. Okay. You keep the baby. You do not get child support from me. I want that kind of agreement. The law won't allow it. And I'll bet you if the law did allow it, I bet your pregnancies will go down by 50% in a fucking
minute. I agree. Yeah, it'll definitely go down for sure. Yeah, I agree. So if that scenario that we explained, if that was your daughter, you would force her to get an abortion too?
Yep.
In her opinion, they don't know about that. To you?
Say that again, Ty.
Her opinion wouldn't hold weight. Like, you wouldn't, like, consider her opinion on it as far as, like, well, she would rather give it up for adoption than to abort it. Like, how would you feel about that?
No, because the baby knows that they're an adopted baby. They never ever feel like they're ever part of a home that adopts them, or very rarely ever feel like that. And until then, they go around from foster home to foster home. They don't lead a happy life. They want to know who their mother is. They want to know who their father is. Sometimes they find out because they, they want to find out. They're not exactly happy children. No adoption. Get the abortion. The baby is dead, does not have to suffer on this planet. That's my, and I was a father, I would say, no, you're too fucking young. You're too young to fucking drive. You're too fucking young to even read comic books. And you're going to have a baby? Uh-uh.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Bobby, your thoughts. How does this scenario play out to you if that's your daughter?
Oh, man, that's crazy. I would... I agree with Joe to an extent. I definitely, at that age, I would not want my daughter to have a baby because she's just too young. She's 15 years old. She's too young. She doesn't really know what. She doesn't know what life was about yet. She's 15. What does she know? She didn't even graduate high school yet. All right? She got to graduate high school. She got to become an adult. When she's under the age of 18, I think, it depends on what state you live in, too, what's considered the legal age. But in my state,
New York
I think
was 17.
It's 17, whatever. You're on my watch, so you're not going to be having a baby at 15 years old in my house. You're not having a baby at 15 years old in my house. Simple as that. You're on my watch. You shouldn't be thinking about baby. And you shouldn't even be, first of all, you shouldn't even be thinking about, I'm not going to say you shouldn't be thinking about sex, but if you're going to do it at that age, you're just beginning. You need to learn about responsibility, about protection. You know, I don't want you, no parent wants their kids having sex at an early age. But if you're going to do it, please do it respectfully. Do it responsibly. Put on a rubber, like Joe said. Put on a rubber. If you're not going to do that, then you don't need to be out there. You're not responsible. And you're not showing me that you are an adult. But you definitely can't have a baby. Because you're not going to be leaving the baby at the house while you go to the club and start partying.
There you go.
You're not going to be like going to the party and leaving the baby. You're not doing that. Yeah, much as I may love my grandkid or whatever, you're not going to be dumping the baby off of me and going out, hanging out, and doing whatever it is you're doing. As like a young person, stuff that young people do. Because now you're a parent. You wanted that kid, so now it's time for you to do what a real parent does and be there with your kid. Take care of that kid. You know? So, yeah. So that's my opinion on it. I'm sorry. I'm not having a teenager with a baby in my house. Well, not underage. Even matter of fact, too. Matter of fact, too, probably. You know what I mean? When you get like 21 and over, you're a young adult, then, you know, it's time for you to, not saying I'm kicking you out, but, you know, you should be wanting to start, doing your own thing, finding work. You know, of course, you may be still in school, college, whatever. But, you know, you need to start doing things as an adult. You know, start investing, putting away money. Start to think about working on starting a business or learning a trade. Do something that's going to learn how to do something so you can support yourself for the entire rest of your life. So, you know?
Yeah.
So, right.
I think I'm going to have to agree with y'all on this one. While I tend to be more of a pro-life person, as I explained earlier, but in this scenario, certain scenarios, this is such a scenario we actually didn't get to earlier, but this scenario right here, my 15-year-old daughter's pregnant, even though I don't like the idea of abortions and stuff, circumstances tie in, and that, like, I'm going to be, we know that the mother and me are going to end up being the primary people that deal with the, she's 15, she don't have the slightest clue about motherhood. I mean, of course, trial and error, she'll eventually figure it out, but she's still in high school. She needs to graduate, get a diploma, live her life. She needs to learn how to become a responsible young adult. You know what I mean? She needs to get that stuff. That's going to set her life back so much. See, these teen moms, sometimes it literally ruins their life. And it's really up to that individual teen mom that she's going to not allow that to make her life. How many times do you see teen moms end up dropping out of school? And if you're not, the only way they don't drop out of school is if you're going to step all the way up and pretty much primarily deal with the children, the child, the baby, so they can, study and do everything they need to do to graduate and go to college. And they're going to really need you. They're going to need you a lot, like never before. And it's almost like you're having a baby again. you might be 50-something, and you feel like you're having a baby right now because your 15-year-old daughter decides she want to get knocked up. And see, that's the only thing about young people having sex. We know we was teenagers, and most people was having sex as teenagers, but it's like that's the flip side to it. That's the downside. Like, well, if the girl gets pregnant, if the guy gets pregnant, that's one thing. If he's the one that got carried the baby ain't going to live for him. It's going to live with the mother. So that's the issue. Like, the parents of the mother are going to have the biggest issue. You know what I mean? And that's tough right there. But I think I would have to third that notion that, like, 15-year-old daughter pregnant. Now, it's the difference with me, I would be okay with the adoption, though. I would be okay with the adoption, but the idea of her having that baby and keeping it, I wouldn't like it. But it's like, so what happens in that situation when she says, no, you can't make her get it. You can say, well, you're going to be on your own, I'm going to keep you out. But you can't make her, you can't tie her hands behind her back and strap her down and make her have the abortion. So if she refuses, the only thing you can say is, well, you got to get out. But it's easy to say that. When it comes down to it, are you really going to put your pregnant 15-year-old daughter out? Probably not. Like, I could say I would all I want, but I know my heart ain't going to allow me to do that. And now I'm stuck in this situation. That's just an unfortunate situation for any parent to be in, you know?
Yeah, facts. Because it doesn't affect just the pregnant girl or the boyfriend. It affects the mother, the father, the in-laws. Now they're going to have the burden of taking care of the baby, because if you're not going to throw your daughter out, you're also going to have enough heart to take care of that baby when she has to go someplace, when the mother has to go someplace. So
like
now
school every day?
You've got to, yeah, like going to school or going she may even want to go to clubs on the weekends.
That's over. You ain't going to no club. I would drag you out myself. You ain't going to no club and going to get your life while I'm sitting here taking care. No, that's the one thing we talk about. You are giving up your social life. Yes, while you go to school, I understand that we're going to have to do that for you while you're in school, when you're doing things that you got to do. You know what I mean? You get a job or something. Yes, we watch the baby because we know that's what has to be done. But going out and having a social life, no. That's done.
But, Dad, I'm only 15. I gave you a beautiful granddaughter. I'm hiring a babysitter, and the babysitters will take care of her. I just want to go out and have a good time on Fridays. I need to go out, Dad, because, you know, raising a child is hard work. And, you know, I'm only 15. So I've got the babysitter. Don't worry. And you can come over and visit the babysitter and the child anytime you want, but I'm going to the club tonight. How do I look, Dad? Do I look okay with my tits hanging out?
No,
do
you
I
look like
right?
You stand your ass home and taking care of the baby. That's what it looked like to me. I ain't sharing.
Okay.
I ain't hearing none of that. You did this.
Thank you.
You did this. No. Where's she going to get money from unless she got a job? What's she going to use my money to hire the babysitter? Is she in high school?
No.
And maybe she
get this.
Well, she can't have a job and be in high school because now I really got the baby. Me and the mother got the baby all the time now. She's going to have to get a job during the summer because that's going to be too much. What's she going to have time to do with the baby? She will probably have to breastfeed and stuff.
She may get on public assistance or something like that. And then, you know, like, Joe,
yeah, what's she going to take the little guy to child support? I mean, he's 15. What the, can
and
he use a child support?
No,
that's right.
Some women get pregnant just so they can get the guy in child support and take care of the baby.
There you go.
And
I think
you got
the 18, though.
Government to
they can't really do nothing as far as child support, and that's... Now, I don't know the rules of that. If he has a job and he's a teenager with a job, maybe they take... But I don't know. I'm thinking maybe he would have to be 18 or out of high school before the state can enforce the child support deductions out of his check. Like, I don't know. That's interesting, actually.
Well, you know what? That may be the law now, but the law can change tomorrow because you know how the law is in favor of women. if enough baby mama get pregnant, they might just change that law so that the baby father, if he has a summer job or a part-time job, he may have to give off some of those earnings towards child support.
Yeah, even if he's under 18, very well be like that now.
Right.
Most of these laws definitely are in favor of the woman, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so now change the scenario to this is, you know, she's if the daughter's, let's say, 18 and the boyfriend's 18, they're seniors, she's pregnant. Now, is this a different outcome? Older, a little older?
Bitch, you gotta go. No, it's not a different outcome. You're not pregnant. No. So, 18 and you don't tell your boyfriend. At 15, I can understand you're not having a rational sense of mind. But if 18, you know what's happening. And you don't tell the boyfriend to put on a rubber and now you're pregnant. Bitch, out of my house.
She got to go.
I wouldn't be like that. But, I mean, I would say, sweetie, you know, you made a horrible decision, and I think an abortion is the best way to take care of it. 18 years of age, you are still too young to have a child. But, Daddy, I understand, but you allowed him, his seed, into your body by not insisting on having a rubber. Did he rape you? No, Daddy. You knew you could get pregnant, right, sweetheart? That's right, Daddy. Well, look at what's happening. If you're too stupid not to have him put on a rubber, do you think you can actually make good decisions regarding your child all the time?
Yeah, I can understand that. As far as from that perspective. So then what do you think about these controversial Texas abortion laws, like the most strict abortion laws in America?
Well, first of all,
they're making it almost
virtually
impossible to have an abortion in Texas. What do you think about that, Joe?
I don't know that much about it. I haven't done as much research on that. But to make it very, very hard to have an abortion, it would seem to fit in with the Christian values, maybe even the Muslim values about not killing any kind of life. And I understand that to me it is murder, because the child never did anything. That is not your body. That is a human being who is residing within your body. That is not your body. Because if you want to use that as a premise, then the sperm that's inside my body you have no control over. So whenever I get somebody pregnant, that's a result of what happened as a result of what was inside my body. If you don't want anybody to control what's inside your body, you cannot control what's inside my body. But unfortunately, we both know that the system is set up to control the male when it comes to so-called reproductive rights, and the women have them, even though they're complaining that they don't. But abortion to me is murder. That is a human being. But I am for it because I believe that particular type of is justifiable homicide to protect the child from feelings of abandonment by the mother and the father and by being raised in a household that does not love him.
So, okay. So Texas is trying to, you know, doing a law where you can wear anything past 6 weeks, then you can't get an abortion. That's what I'm reading. When I was looking at it from the reports on the media outlets, I think they were saying 8 weeks. Now I'm reading something about 6 weeks online. Let's just say 8 weeks for right now. Let's just say 8 weeks. And a lot of women are kind of just now realizing that they're pregnant at around about that time.
I think some women know that they're pregnant within the first month. Or our first month, 5 weeks is true. There's women who know that they're pregnant before that. Because I was like, here in New York, there's places that give women abortions at a month and a half, or 6 weeks. So
6 weeks, yeah.
They had to, right, they had to know that they were pregnant before that, like maybe a month or later, or 5 weeks, and then they go figure out how they're going to do and then go get the abortion. So I know 6 weeks is like, they won't do an abortion in New York any before 6 weeks. Like, they won't do an abortion before 6 weeks. I think it's like before 6 weeks is too, I think that first stage is too small to do anything. But, you know, but that's also a lie, because women have this, like, some women, when they either realize they may have gotten pregnant, or they knew, realize they had unprotected sex, like they was got caught up in the heat of the moment and they didn't use protection, they have these morning after pills that they be taking to make sure that they clear out, you know, if they were pregnant, you know, so they do have those morning after pills. I don't know if you guys heard about that, but
they I know all about it. Trust me, I know all about it.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's something else that some women keep in a, you know, in their stash, a morning after pill, if they know they're going to be, you know, active like that, you know, sexually. So they keep those too, because a lot of them know that they're going to mess up. And see, that, by having those, that's what you're saying. I may make a mistake, it may happen, I may even make a mistake, get caught up in the heat of the moment, and bam, I'm going to need the morning after pill. That's just going to show you the mentality of some of these young women out there, and even some adults, that some of them are not, they're just like, they'll mess up, they'll screw up and, like, you know, get caught up in the heat of the moment and not use a condom. Like they have, like, literally not much self-control when it gets to that point. So they need the morning after pill to make sure that they don't have a big, that they don't, you know, have a pregnancy. So, yeah.
Well,
yeah, I'm starting to think about.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It is 6 weeks. It says abortion rights advocates have promised to challenge the new law, which they consider one of the most extreme nationwide and the strictest in Texas since the landmark Roe v. Wade decision, that would amount to an outright ban on abortions, as the six-week cutoff is 2 weeks after a missed menstrual cycle. So most women, they miss their menstrual cycle a month later. That's 4 weeks. And just the extra 2 weeks at 6 weeks, and that's it. And some people's periods come late. So a lot of times a woman ain't freaking out until it's about 6 weeks. Instead of it's like 2 weeks late, because sometimes we've seen periods come a week later sometimes.
Right.
Menstrual cycles can change a little bit. So a lot of women at 6 weeks are definitely just realizing they might be pregnant. And to have that ban, they said it starts this the law takes effect in September, as I told them now. So, you know, very, very strict abortion laws. So y'all think that's unfair, 6 weeks?
I think 6 weeks is too early. I think they should give women more time. But like I said, you know, 6 weeks, you know, a lot of women, like you said, may not find out that they're pregnant until that 6 week, you know, 5th, 6 week, and then I think they need a little more time. Because, you know, it's the New York, I don't know about any other state, but in New York, you got to be 6 weeks to get an abortion. So at a minimum of 6 weeks. So it's between six and what other, or how long is the cutoff before you cannot have an abortion? You know, when you're just going to have a baby or a birth. You know, so that's what I would have to figure out. How do I have to look into? You know, so I would say the point where you can, I would say maybe 2 weeks before that point where you can't have an abortion should be like, that should be like probably like the cutoff date, you know? So if you're going to
I'm going to read this last part and then I'm going to get Joe's opinion. It says, the bill bans abortions after whenever an ultrasound can detect what lawmakers define as a fetal heartbeat which can be as early as 6 weeks into pregnancy. Medical and legal experts say the time is misleading because embryos don't possess a heartbeat at that developmental stage. It includes cases where the woman was impregnated as a result of rape or incest. There is an exception for medical emergencies. Similar bills have been passed by other states and held up by the courts, but Texas's version has a push. What do you think, Joe? They're saying even in rape and incest, still that law upholds, even they don't make an exception for rape or incest to, like, you know, to give a person a way out. Well, what do you think, Joe?
No, I think in case of incest and rape, I think it should allow an abortion to be to go forward. It's not only hard on the baby, but of course it's hard on the mother, who of course has to be reminded that that particular baby is a result of having been beaten brutally at times by being raped. It's not like what you see in the movie sometimes. It's not neat and clean. Sometimes, I mean, they'll rape you, beat you, and practically knock your teeth out. So rape is not a pretty thing. And it's to have a reminder of that particular instance, walking around, laughing, maybe even looking like you're a rapist? No. I say no. If the people, and I still believe that the mothers and fathers should be in on this. Not the mothers so much, but the fathers. I believe whoever does not want the baby, that's the rule. So if the father doesn't want the baby, the mother should get an abortion. Even if the mother says, but it's not your body, you don't know the pain I have to go through. Hey, we all go through pain. If you want to have the baby, then you just take care of the baby yourself. You never come after me for money.
So the agreement should be mutual. The agreement should be mutual.
Yeah. Well, so if that really, if it's mutual, it's one thing. But I think, no, I say whoever does not want the baby, that's the rule. If I don't want the baby, then you get an abortion. If you don't want the baby and I want the baby, then you get the abortion. Whoever does not want the baby wins.
Right. Gotcha.
No, not both
right,
parties.
That's interesting.
Just
that's, no, that's interesting.
Just one.
Well, just one.
Yeah.
If one person says no, abortion, whether it's the male or the female. If both people say yes, then go ahead with the baby. But if one person says no, no baby. Got it.
There would be no way
to... You want the baby, if you want the baby, do not come to me for money.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So I can agree with that. So what Joe is saying is, if she wants the baby and she refuses to get an abortion, well, that's her body, so you can't make her get an abortion, but you can't make me pay child support because you had an out. If I got her pregnant, she could say, I don't want to have to deal with this baby, I'm getting an abortion. But the guy could say, I don't want to have a baby, but she could say, I'm having this baby, and I'm going to take you to child support and milk your pockets until the baby turns 18. So the woman has an out, and the guy doesn't have an out. So that's what Joe is saying.
What about this? What about this scenario? Speaking of that, and this is a true story. I'm about to tell you. This is a true story. There was a woman,
somebody's background or something. It's like getting just a little out of control.
I don't know.
Well, it must be me. I'm going to put myself on mute and see if that helps. Let's see.
All right. Okay.
Oh, it definitely stopped immediately.
Yeah. All right, but get this. A woman, right? She gave a man fellatio, oral sex, right? That was it. He never went in her vagina. Oral sex only. But you guess what she did? She took the semen out of her mouth, put it in some type of tube where she was able to insert it into her vagina and got pregnant. And then turned around and took the guy to court for child support. And when she did that, the now father who didn't go and didn't have sex with her vaginally, went to court and said, no, Your Honor, I didn't have sex with her. I didn't go in her vagina. She gave me oral sex. She took the semen and planted it, inserted it into her vagina and made herself get pregnant. Don't you know the court still made him, because he was still the father, he still had to deal with paying child support. They still made him accountable, and he had to now deal with taking care of the baby, child support. What about that? What do you think about that one?
That's crazy. That's almost close to similar to like being violated in the sense that she took the sperm that you did not give her consent to and injected it into her vagina to impregnate herself without your permission. She should not only should she not be awarded child support, I think a lawsuit should rightfully be able to be filed. And he should be able to, you know, file a lawsuit on her and take her to civil court and win some money because, you know, she took his son and impregnated herself without his consent. That's crazy. What you think, Bill?
That's a true story. I don't know if I told that story on this show, but I told it on another show.
I think
it was between
head.
Two
in
doctors.
It's a true story.
Yeah,
I
heard that story too.
Yeah. You might have heard it from me, Bobby, because it was about two doctors.
So it was two
medical doctors. So she knew what she was doing. She kept it. She put it into a container, brought the container home, used a turkey baster, implanted the semen into her, and bango, bingo, bango. She got pregnant, and he had to pay child support. And he said to the judge, and the judge knew it. The judge said, yes, and not all. And you add insult to injury. The judge didn't say that she stole the sperm. The judge said it was a gift.
It was a gift. Well, that judge should be disbarred or did something because that was just wrong. And this is what happens to the men in court when it has to deal with child support. It's always in a lot of cases, yeah, it should be in the woman's favor, in the mother's favor. But in this case, this absolutely was not in her favor, but it was still in her favor. You know what I mean? It should have never went that way. You know, but it did anyway. So this judge needs to be, he needs to be fired.
You want to hear about real paternity fraud? There was a case where a woman was in front of a caseworker at one of these social security, these welfare offices. And the caseworker says to her, who's the baby? She looks at the phone book, rifles the pages a little bit, takes her finger, goes down the list, stops at a name, and says, he's the father. Do you know they served him with papers that he had to pay child support, and I don't know if he did until they could get a paternity test done. But the point of the story is she did it in front of the caseworker. She didn't. It was obvious she didn't know who the father was or didn't want to name the father and just picked a name out of the phone book, literally. And they still made the guy pay child support.
That's crazy.
This goes to show that the court is nothing but a corporation that only care about making money. That's all. They don't care about who's right or who's wrong. If you can make something stick, is they going to make it stick? If they're going to, at the end of the day, make money off it, they don't care who it is, especially if it's a minority. You know what I'm saying? Or who they consider minority. They just want the money at the end of the day. If someone has a training or whatever, then we take it to court. And then if it turns out to be in the person's favor, then they make the adjustments. But other than that, all they care about is money, money, money. It's a corporation. The courts is a corporation. And that's all they care about at the end of the day. Sorry to say. I mean, some people, I guess, feel, you know, get what they deserve in court. Who's doing the right thing, they're going to go and make it work for them. But for the most part, man, of course, you know, if you don't have representation in the courts, you it's like you're going to get eaten. It's like they throw you out into the lion's den. Like, you are just going to get eaten alive. You know, that's what happens. When you go without representation, you know, unless you really know your stuff, if you know your laws, you really got to know that law, that code for whatever state it is, you know, or unless you were more or something like that, where they where you claim they have no jurisdiction over you, then, you know, you're going to get eaten alive. So that's just the way the system is. Sorry to say, it is what it is. They are nothing to me. They're nothing more than a corporation. That's like going into McDonald's. You got to pay if you want that cheeseburger, right? That's the same thing. So that's all they are to me. Yep. So that's just crazy.
Yeah, and like, pretty much if you're going into family court, because that's what that is when you're dealing with, like, stuff like child support and all that stuff. Yeah, family court. Like, if you're dealing with child support, I'm going to be honest, I really don't see the benefit in hiring an attorney, because most of the times, not even highly skilled attorneys, maybe at best they can get your child support lowered. But I haven't seen many cases where an attorney successfully got a man out of paying child support. You think because you got an attorney, you're going to duck paying child support? You better think again.
Well,
you're going to go on child support.
You're
going
right
to go on there.
But you're right about that. That I can't even argue with. But what if you was working a job, right, and you was making X amount of money, right, but then you lose that job, and you got another job where you're making maybe 75 or 50% less money, but you're still paying that same amount of money when you was working other position with that you're no longer working at, but now your income went down and you got to do a moderation, and you know, and you have all the proof in the world that, you know, your pay stubs and your new position, but they don't want to make the adjustments. They want to keep that rate at that. That's crazy. Now, what do you think about that? They don't want to change it based on what you're making. Tell me that.
They have a standard. They have a standard. They have like a certain amount set, like that the average person, they say the average person would make this amount of money if they work, let's say, 40 hours or whatever. I think they typically try to base it on minimum wage. But they have a certain standard set. So it really comes down to the discretion of the judge, when if the judge, he or she, is understanding, optimistic, you know what I mean, to your situation and like, okay, well, you know what, we'll lower it based on those circumstances. Most of the time, the standard that was set from the beginning when child support was first issued out, the court tries to stick to that. And you're going to have a pretty good case, a pretty good argument as to why you can't meet that standard that was originally set. I've seen guys try to get out of it get it lowered. A lot of times the judge will say, no, because that was a fair amount that was set. It's reasonable, and we don't see a reason why, even though you're making it less now, we don't see a reason why. Look, that's still X amount of percent of your income. You still bring home X amount. So, you know, and one thing for sure, they're not going to care about, oh, your hours went down. They're going to say, cry me a river, request more hours, or find another job. More than likely,
that's what they do.
That standard that was set at the beginning, they will try to hold you to that because they feel like people are trying to get out of paying what they requested. Yeah, they're trying to get out of it. And they don't like the lower it.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about a person that's trying to get out of paying child support. I'm just talking
legit situation. I'm saying this is typically with the court. This is typically how the court looks at it.
Right.
Because you know, I've been there. I had to sit with an attorney. I've talked to like 30 attorneys. I was obsessed with myself trying to figure out what I was going to do. I talked to many attorneys. I sat in the family court and had to watch other people's situations. I had to sit with the moderator and negotiate all of that stuff. I've done it before, and I've seen how the courts tend to, you know, do with whoever the primary parent is, which is typically the mother, and they're not really that lenient when it comes to trying to be understanding of the father's circumstances and how it changed. Yes. They're not really trying to hear all that. It's like, dude, you got to pay up. And I've seen dudes go to jail over that. I'm not getting the hours I was getting. My hours got cut. Da, 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 da. Okay, look, lock them up. Like, they don't even care. You know what? This is your fourth time here. Lock them up. Now he's locked up, and he can't pay nothing now because he's locked up.
That always puzzles me. Like, why lock a man up for being behind the child support? Now, what if the guy isn't trying to find work? You know, another thing they do, they will driver's license, they will suspend it. You know, so what if you the one of those guys that need a driver's license? Like, you want to do a job where you need your license, you're driving. You know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? What if, you know, you're looking for those type of positions, you know? You got type of worker, that's the type of experience you have. But now child support want to suspend your license so that you can't drive when that's what you need for work. And then you can start dealing with your child support after that, and then you start making some money. You know what I'm saying? What about those situations? That's why, to arrest the guy for being behind child support, now, is it like a certain amount of money, like, before they come after you? Like, a certain amount? Maybe it's a certain amount of thousands of dollars, maybe. I don't know. I don't know the case.
Typically people will be thousands in the hole, or at least over 1,000. But typically what I've seen is like somebody might be like 4,000 or 5,000 in the hole, and then, you know, it starts with the license getting suspended, and then after that, you know, typically the next penalty is, they might get a letter saying, hey, you got 30 days, 45 days to make a payment. After that, after the suspension of the license and the warning, is jail.
Is that how it is in Baltimore?
For sure.
New York. Okay, they don't arrest you. They will suspend your license and things like that. But I don't know anyone who got arrested for even if they owe over $5,000 in New York.
Lucky New Yorkers. That's all I can say.
I don't know anyone
Rogan
in New York.
Wait, Joe, what did you say?
Well,
do you know
Joe
Rogan?
Up. Oh,
Joe Rogan, the podcaster,
If I call back in, will I get on?
You can try.
No.
Yeah.
Well, then if I can't get back on, I can't talk.
You sound, okay. I hear you.
Yeah, there's definitely some interference going on, though. It's like,
But we still hear you. What you were going to say?
Joe Rogan was in a, he's the guy that's my commentator for the UFC. He used to be on a TV show. I think it was called News Radio years ago. He was not the star of the show. The star of the show was a Canadian guy. He was making about $1 million a year. So what happened, he went back to live in Canada. He got divorced from his wife. He was lucky to have gotten that show because he was making like $1 million a year. But now his income is down to like, I don't know, $60,000 a year or so, because he's hardly getting the same kind of gigs he was getting before. He got divorced, like I said, but I don't remember if he had kids or not, but the Canadian court said you were paying this woman, I think either child support or alimony, something like $50,000 a month, when you were making $1 million a year, even though you're only making like $60,000 a year, you still got to pay her $50,000 a month.
Oh,
and I think that's,
you see what I'm saying?
For alimony. I think that was for child support. So Canada's even worse than we are.
So how ignorant is that? See, that just goes to show you that the system. The system is all about the money. They don't care about you, all right, as a human being. They don't care about you. They only care about is the dollar signs coming, you know, going with you. Because remember, they get a piece of that money through the system. They making money from that. You know, your money is not just going straight to, they get a piece of that. It's not going straight to your child support. You know, yeah, they're like the middleman. They get their cut before anything goes to the child. You know, so even a person that's on, let's say in New York, right? A person, a woman is getting child support from a guy, but the guy is no longer working. And let's say the guy gets on.
I'm
going to
get off, guys.
On,
good night. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Hi, Joe.
Later, Joe. Yeah. And what if the guy, right? What if the guy gets on public assistance, right? Don't you know if he gets on public assistance, the woman is going to get, I think, like $50 a month, something like that, from public assistance. If the guy is on welfare, they're going to give the kid will get $50. I don't know if it's a month or what it is. I know they would get like $50, maybe twice a month. I don't know exactly what it is, but yeah. I've heard of cases like that, too. It's all about the funds. It's all about the – and I'm going to tell you, some women,
I'm going to cut you off, but because, you know,
yeah,
you know how this thing – this thing will cut us off, right,
yeah,
in the
so
middle of
yeah,
talking. You know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
It happened last
yeah.
time. Yeah, you got cut off.
And, you all know right. – This is a discussion that we can have a whole separate discussion with the whole child support thing and all that. The great discussion,
right.
Great discussion. Definitely something to take away from, something to think about. I like the addition of the article that we read and thinking about scenarios and stuff. Yeah, great discussion, man. Yeah.
Thanks to
great
Joe
discussion.
For
great discussion.
Too. Thanks to Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Joe. He's like,
the contribution
like
is,
yeah, he's always, his contribution is always appreciated. Yes. All the time.
Yep,
so,
yep, yep.
All that.
Yep. So you pro-life or pro-choice. I'm going to just close out by saying that, Bobby, I give you the last word. I'm kind of in the middle, but if I had to choose between pro-life and pro-choice, I would be pro-life. But at the end of the day, there's still sets of circumstances where I'm like pro-choice, like rape. Incest is like, was it voluntary? That's just weird. Like, how does that even happen? So, I'm definitely,
right.
Or like medical reasons, I'm supporting it. You know what I mean? But just because you don't want to, just because you're not ready, other than if it's like a teen mom or something, for the most part, I'm just like, nah, I don't really agree with it. But at the end of the day, people are going to do what they want with their body. So, Bobby?
There you go.
Your final thoughts?
I'm definitely pro-life first, unless there's a situation such as rape or medical life-threatening illness that can, you know, if you go ahead with having a baby, it can cause your life. Those situations and possibly some others that I just may not be thinking of, I'm with the pro-choice. Get abortion if that's what you have to do to save and help your life, you know. So, but other than that, I'm gonna say I'm pro-life first, pro-choice second. So, yeah, there you have it. Yep,
there
so,
you have it. So, yeah, so, it's Real Talk Radio. This was, are you pro-life or pro-choice? Hey, man, share this link with your social media, whatever. See what people think. Get the conversation going, man. It's all about having a conversation, coming to the table, see if we can get a better understanding of each other. So it's Real Talk Radio with Tay Real and Bobby G. We'll see y'all next time. Peace.
Peace.